the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 20th year. And today we're joined by Tom Pohlman, the Senior Vice President and General Manager of the Golden Nugget in Atlantic City. Pohlman has been GM of the Golden Nugget for the last 15 years. He was appointed to lead the property when owner Tillman Fertitta bought it from the Trump Organization in 2011. Pohlman directs a property that he admits is one of the also-rans in Atlantic City, but believes the amenities and service provided to the guests allows it to stand above its competitors. He discusses a couple of programs that no other property in the city offers. He met with me in a large suite at the hotel in September. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Tom Pohlman, the general manager of the Golden Nugget in Atlantic City. And this place has a lot of memories for me, and I'm sure it does for you. You've been here for quite some time now, right?
14, going on 15 years.
Wow.
I've been in AC.
Wow, that's great. So you know a lot about the market and certainly this property. I mean, this property is really a different property. It's set at the marina, of course, but you have the marina out there. If we turn around here, we can see the boats in the water out there, and it really attracts a different kind of clientele. So I want to talk about all that, but let's talk about the summer that just ended here. It seems to me, and I've seen some of the numbers, that it looks like it's one of the most successful summers we've had in the last decade almost. How was it for you here at the Golden Nugget?
Definitely better than previous summers. This particular property, we're not back to where we were pre-COVID.
Right.
But when you look at the gaming numbers, I mean, it's important, and now we extract out the brick and mortar versus the online.
Right.
I think August year to date, we're just under about $2 billion in gross gaming revenue for brick and mortar.
Right.
Online gaming is at about $1.9 billion, and then you add about another $700 million for sports.
Sure.
Online and land-based. And then again, I extract out on the brick and mortar. There's really three properties that are excelling right
sure,
now. You've got Borgata, Hard
mm-hmm.
Rock, and Ocean.
Right.
Us smaller properties, it's a fight to the finish. We're
right.
all fighting for the same customers. As you know, there's no loyalty anywhere in gaming.
Tough.
So it's share of wallet. It's how can you make sure customers are visiting your property? And if you're not an A visit, how do you become a B or C visit?
Right.
So again, and by all accounts, it's better than we've seen over the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite to where we were or would like to be, but we're always working on improving what we do and hoping next year is a better year for
sure,
us.
Sure, sure. So, summer is always the time the casinos have to make their money. And is that still the case here at the Golden Nugget?
We used to say from Labor Day to Memorial Day.
Right.
It's not even the case because you've got the end of May, you've got a holiday. Then June, the first 3 weeks in June are a lull. You're fighting with graduations, weddings.
Sure, right.
So it's really July 4th to first week in September. That's
yep.
where we've got to make our money. We continue to stay strong on weekends mm-hmm. in the shoulder season here in Atlantic City, but it's the midweek business
sure.
that tends to struggle from October through May, June.
Sure, sure. So one of the advantages you have that nobody else has is that you're attached to the state marina and you actually run the state marina. So tell us how that impacts your business.
So State Marina, it is a state-owned marina. We manage it,
mm-hmm.
But what most people don't realize is we're also on the hook for whatever capital investment needs to go
sure.
into the marina.
Right.
It does bring us 640 slips,
mm-hmm.
which in the summertime in our season, we are the smallest hotel and casino. We've got 717 hotel rooms. So in the summertime when we benefit most, if we're at 75 to 80%
mm-hmm.
Occupancy in the marina, it's bringing an extra 500 rooms to our property that
sure.
we don't have to have housekeepers go and clean.
Sure.
So it's bodies on property that help feed our property in our most critical time of the year.
Sure. And of course, the place to be is the deck at the marina in the summertime. It's always hopping. You've got some great entertainment down there, and people like to gather there. It's a beautiful outside location.
We purchased this property in May of 2011. And as I thought back preparing for this, the deck is the one venue that we did not change the name. We
right.
did not change the format.
Mm-hmm.
The deck, long before my existence here in Atlantic City, was a staple of not only the property that sits here, but Atlantic City. And it continues to be from the Don't Call Me Francis to the B Street Band on Thursdays.
Right.
you know, on a Friday, Saturday night when the right entertainment's out there, we've got a couple thousand people out enjoying mm-hmm. the deck. We are the only property in Atlantic City that has outdoor gaming.
Sure.
So we've got three blackjack tables out on the deck, and we've also got three blackjack tables up in our pool area.
Right, right.
That makes us a little bit unique.
Sure. And, of course, you have one of your finest restaurants out there, the Chart House. I mean, I have to go there every summer at least twice. I've been there three times this summer. And, of course, the happy hour there is legendary as well.
And Landry's, we are known for restaurants. Sure. We've got over 600 restaurant units from the ones that we have here, Chart House, Vic and Anthony's, Dos Caminos, Lily's, Bill's Burger, but also other popular restaurants that are neighboring casinos. We own Morton's, we own McCormick and Smith,
sure, right.
We own Rainforest Cafe. So our restaurants definitely drive bodies to our property.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, Chart House, not only is Chart House happy hour great, Vic and Anthony's
sure, right.
happy hour is great, and the level of service and food that we provide being a restaurant company, I would put up against any other restaurant in town.
Sure, sure. My son and his girlfriend were in town the other day. She'd never been to a Rainforest Cafe, and so she visited the one on the boardwalk. Are you able to comp people to that?
So one thing that makes us unique is comps that you earn at any one of our seven right. Golden Nugget entities, those comps travel with you.
Mm-hmm.
Other casino organizations, you're able to use those comps in their casinos.
Right.
What makes us unique is you can bring your comps to any one of our restaurants.
Sure.
So it doesn't have to be located just in a casino. You can go to Rainforest, which is now not tied to any casino.
Right.
You can go to Morton's in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You can be in Texas. So as long as you have comp dollars on your global account, you're able to use those in any one of our restaurants.
Sure, sure. Well, let's talk about the owner of the company, Tillman Fertitta. He was very much involved in this. I know his boat was in the marina several times over the past couple of years, but now he's been named the ambassador to Italy and the Vatican, and he's had to back away from the gaming. So how does that impact the way you operate?
So it's business as usual for mm-hmm. us. You know, prior to ambassadorship, Tillman was a very hands-on owner,
right?
Accessible to any one of us at any time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a structure in place where there's always been a chief operating officer over the gaming entity
sure,
that
right.
still falls in place. You know, Tillman becoming ambassador, he's had to separate from his duties
sure.
as president of Fertitta Entertainment.
Yep.
And Paige Fertitta has assumed those responsibilities. But as far as operators, we have not skipped a beat.
Right. Yeah.
It's business as usual, and will continue to be business as usual.
Okay. So one of the other positives about this property that nobody else has is free parking. This is it's almost like you comp somebody even when they get here, because you know it's fairly expensive at the other casinos.
It is. So people don't realize we pay $4 per car that parks on
okay.
property, and
right.
we're eating that expense.
Mm-hmm.
Back when we first took over, this is a great property. We put a significant amount of money into the property when we bought it, but we're on an island.
Right.
We've got Borgata and Harrah's in the Marina District, and then you've got all the boardwalk properties, which in the summer people prefer because you could property hop easily.
Right.
Back in the day, I did an analysis. 75% of our customers were receiving free parking anyway, based
mm-hmm.
on their tier status or
right.
what they've earned. We were looking for a big marketing message, and free parking all day, every day came up.
Right.
It was at a time where having parking attendants be out there in the middle of the night was
right.
getting a little dangerous. Finding parking attendants to be able to man the, mm-hmm. the equipment. So again, we went with free parking all day, every day. Last year, we did try charging for parking with new technology.
Right.
And even though 80% of our customers were still receiving free parking, it was having to scan barcodes and
yeah.
cards, and it became a problem. And I listened to our customers, and it was, I believe we were getting more benefit out of having free parking.
Right.
than we were by trying to charge and generate a little bit of revenue.
Sure.
So we went back to the free parking all day, every day.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, that's always been a real positive for Atlantic City. I remember when Harrah's first opened, they were offering free parking and everybody rushed over there. But I think people don't really understand what you've done to this property. I hadn't been here for a couple of years since we talked, and I wanted to come to the property and check it out. And I was really surprised at the quality that you have here. I mean, everything is clean. You know, when I was here last week, you were replacing the carpet. In the lobby there, and you know, so It looked like, you know, there was no downside to this property in terms of you know, not upkeep.
Well, we acquired it, or Tillman acquired it in 2011.
Right.
It was a failing property at the time that had been neglected, and he had put $150 million into it at that time, where
right.
every physical space that the customer saw
mm-hmm.
was touched.
Right.
And for a while, we were the shiny new penny in
right.
town. Then there were requirements implemented on properties where you got to reinvest 5% of your
right.
net revenues in CapEx, and you had Hard Rock come online, which did an outstanding job with the old Taj Mahal.
Right.
You had Ocean that reinvented itself post-COVID.
Sure.
So you've got all these properties reinvesting in rooms and restaurants, and for a while we were lagging because mm-hmm. we had put so much money into it in 2011. But over the last couple of years, we've spent about $15 million redoing 200 hotel rooms.
Right.
Customers don't realize just to do a basic remodel of a hotel room, we're spending about $70,000 per key.
Sure, right.
Elevators. Just our elevators, to remodernize those, mm-hmm. their original 40-year-old elevators,
right.
so to modernize those, you're spending $700,000 per elevator, and a customer doesn't even realize that you're spending that money.
Right, yeah.
Back of house infrastructure, cooling towers that keep the building cool.
Sure, right.
You're spending $1 million to redo those as they get old. And then IT these days, it seems like everything's got 5-year end of life.
Right, yeah.
So every 5 years, you're having to invest a significant amount of money on new IT equipment to keep things safe and running. Then you've got slot machines that you're trying to keep refreshed on the floor, and you're spending $3 to $4 million a year on new slot
sure,
product.
Right.
But I appreciate you saying we're clean, because for a long time, the carpet that we're changing out now is carpet that we put in 14 years ago.
Sure, right.
And the team we have here does an amazing job. I do believe that we're one of the cleaner properties. But we are high-frequency market. So customers here are visiting multiple times a month.
Right.
And when they're staying in a hotel room or seeing the same carpet for 14 years a couple
right.
times a month, when other properties that are your competitors are making improvements, you've got to stay in the game. And,
sure,
and,
right.
and Tillman committed to giving us that money to, mm-hmm. to improve the product and
sure,
property.
Sure. Well, you mentioned the slot machines. I had heard for a long time, oh, they were thinking machines are ancient over there. Well, I was walking through. They were all pretty updated machines, and there's space to move on the floor. There's no rows of slot machines that I recall being here are no longer here.
So the ancient slot machine is interesting because, as you know, just like IT equipment,
right.
slot machines have end of life.
Sure.
We have more complaints from customers for taking older product
right.
off.
That's true.
Not because we want to take it off, but mm-hmm. we can't get parts for it
right.
anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be serviced, and you've got to replace it with these newer games with the bells and whistles.
Right.
And I think we make more customers mad taking older product
sure,
off
yeah.
when we don't necessarily want to. But, you know, we've reduced our slot count over the years to,
right.
to make it more comfortable for customers. And it's not necessarily about how many devices do you have on the floor. It's the quality of the devices.
Sure, right.
Is it the device that our customer wants to play? But there's also capital constraints. So,
right. sure.
you know, when you can purchase machines as opposed to leasing them,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of economic factors at play. But I think over the last couple of years, we've made some positive changes with our floor and downsizing things and making it feel more comfortable.
Sure.
And you're a gaming expert. So
sure.
that I appreciate you saying mm-hmm. that you recognize those things, because customers don't always recognize
right.
the things that go on.
Well, some of the older machines I saw downstairs are the video poker machines, and I know that people scream when you take their video poker machines out of there, and I saw some decent pay tables on the video poker machines as well.
And again, I talk about midweek and the off-season video poker. You know, any customer in Vegas or,
mm-hmm.
or Atlantic City that plays frequently,
right.
frequently, they're going to play where the odds are a little bit more in their favor.
Sure.
And video poker is your typical,
right.
I'm a local, I like to play, here's my budget, I just want to have fun. Video poker is the product that
sure.
we're going after.
Sure.
So you need to make sure you keep some video poker product on the floor to cater to your locals and your high frequency customers.
Right. And you've got some really comfortable bars downstairs. I mean, the Rise Lounge has always been one of my favorites. You got some entertainment in there. Dan Anthony, how long has he been on the
property? Since I've been operating the property, we've
right,
had
right.
him. So.
Yeah, and so, you know, again, those products are really up to speed too. So I hope people start to realize that.
I appreciate that. And again, it's a it's an uphill battle, and every day is a challenge, but I can only control what I control, and
sure.
and that's what I focus on with our team. What can we do with what we have and what we're given, and
right.
and we try to make the best of it.
Okay, great. So again, as one of the smaller properties, you're competing with all the other smaller properties for similar customers. Do you believe you have some kind of a niche that you really attract?
So I remember the day I first came on property in 2011. It was mm-hmm. February 14th. Tillman announced that he was purchasing the Trent Marina. Nobody knew who I was. I was acting as a customer, right. wanted to get a feel for the employees. And the feeling I got at that time was you were truly part of a family. You weren't right. just a player number. People learned your name. Mm-hmm. They knew they wanted to get to know you. And to this day, that's probably one of the most frequent comments I read from customers is how they come here because they feel like family.
Right.
And we've got a lot of day one employees, and I don't
sure.
mean day one from when we bought the property.
Right.
I mean day one from when it was Trump Castle.
Right.
And I always look for ways that we can set ourselves apart from the bigger properties. We can't match the amenities or
sure,
the entertainment,
right.
but what can we do and focus on that family feel where you're not just a number, people know who you are. And then we're a smaller property, so you come up our escalator, you're in yep. the atrium, you're not getting lost.
Yep.
Everything's within arm's reach and
sure.
easy to find. So I think that's our niche. It's we skew an older demographic, and they come here because they feel more comfortable. It's not as crazy to get from point A to point B, and that's what we hold true to. That's what we focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. Your buffet is very, very comfortable, and
our buffet's been closed.
But it's now a coffee shop type of thing.
The coffee yeah. shop, and you know, buffet is interesting because post COVID, getting employees back was
right.
was an issue. In Atlantic City, we have players clubs.
Right.
Your higher end level customers go into it's a buffet
right.
style environment. We needed to focus our resources on keeping that open as
right.
opposed to the main buffet.
Right.
So we made the decision not to reopen our
sure.
buffet and focus on our higher end customers that get our Chairman's
sure.
Club, which is a free buffet to them.
Yeah, I walked by that the other day, and it was packed. There were a lot of people in there, and this was the middle of the week during the day, so I was surprised to see how many people were in there. But it's got this kind of view that we have right here of the State Marina and the water and the inlet and the skyline of Atlantic City. So it's really, you feel like you're special in there.
Yep.
So you have that level of player, and obviously you try to cater to that level of player. You do any special things for those people?
We do. I mean, Atlantic City, so we operate in multiple jurisdictions.
Right.
Atlantic City is our most incentivized market
yep.
that we operate.
Sure.
Free play is our biggest driver.
Right.
At this property, you can get a free play offer 6 days a week.
Yeah.
When you look at the gaming numbers, it's public what properties give away, promotional gaming
right.
credits. Our property historically gives the most free play away, and
right.
it's fact. We give about 23% of gaming slot win
right.
back in free play, mm-hmm. where the market average is under 19%.
Right.
So free play is a big driver. Player parties for that higher end
right.
Hosted customer. Gifts. Gifts we're finding aren't as popular anymore.
Right.
Gift cards are
mm-hmm.
big because a customer can
sure.
take that and go spend it on whatever they want. But it's really, there's nothing unique in town. I know you had mentioned bingo in your questionnaire.
Sure.
Back before COVID, I think we were the only property that did bingo. Now you've got Ocean doing bingo. You've
right.
got Hard
yeah.
Rock doing bingo. So that's not unique to us
mm-hmm.
anymore. But in the gaming industry, I don't see much being unique anymore.
Sure,
it's
exactly,
the same
yeah.
promotions with a new name and a new spin on it. But it's really taking care of your customers and making sure that they feel appreciated.
Okay, great. So let's talk about online gaming revenue. Golden Nugget has always been one of the leaders in that, because I think in the beginning Tillman realized, you know, what an opportunity it was. But talk about how that impacts your property. I mean, it looks like a big number, but of course we know most of it goes to the suppliers and the skins and the things of that.
So back in the day, Tillman was a visionary. He
right.
where other properties were focusing on third parties.
Right.
Tillman invested his own money and hired one of the most knowledgeable online gaming operators that I know, Thomas Winter, who
I had him on a panel one time.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, Thomas was responsible for taking GoldenNuggetCasino.com.
Right.
We took it public in December 2020. It mm-hmm. became GNOG on the trading tables. And I think at that point, when Tilman took that public, the deal was worth about $745 million.
Right.
Fast forward to 2022, DraftKings acquires GNOG in an all-stock deal, and I think it was valued at about $1.5 billion mm-hmm. in stock. So prior to that transaction, we benefited more heavily on GNOG. Mm-hmm. Now everything is rev share based, where we have operators, FanDuel, use our skin. And although DraftKings acquired GoldenNuggetCasino.com, GNOG or GoldenNuggetCasino.com operates on our skin, but DraftKings operates on Resorts' skin. Yep. So it is, online revenue is a significant portion of what we make. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the numbers and you see, okay, online gaming, $1.9 billion in revenue year-to-date through August, that's not coming to the casinos.
Right.
It's a percentage, which is a significant percentage. But we also just had a tax increase on the online, mm-hmm. where, you know, online gaming went from, 15 to 19.75.
Right.
Online sports went from 13.5 up to 19.75. And then fantasy went from 10.5 to 19.75. So significant increase on the tax structure on online gaming. And we'll see how that plays out. But we're also seeing a lot of online operators drop out or sell assets.
Sure, and,
But when you look at what falls under, Golden Nugget, FanDuel is the number one operator, even larger than DraftKings. And then GNOG, I think right now, is number seven.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got a couple other operators as well under that.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So it's still a significant amount of revenue, but it's not the top line.
When gaming numbers are reported, and again, when brick and mortar is $1.9 billion year to date, and you've got just the online gaming part being $1.9 billion, and then you've got another $700 million in the sports sector. It's a little bit more skewed towards the online, I think, right now, compared to the brick and mortar.
Okay. So another thing that Tilman was visionary on, he opened the first live dealer studio in the United States here at the Golden Nugget. Is that still operating?
It's not. So when DraftKings acquired GNOG, back in 19, I believe it was, DraftKings had a relationship with third-party Evolution Gaming, who operated their studio out of Hard Rock, I believe they operate.
Right.
So January of 25, DraftKings made the business decision to merge those two operations. So all of their online operations are now based out of Evolution Studios. We do have some space here that DraftKings still rents, and they use it for the roulette wheels, the bubble craps, for their online gaming, but majority of their online live dealer operations are over in the Evolution Studio. But that is part of what kept us going during COVID, because all land-based brick and mortar was shut down during COVID, and we were the only property that had live dealer at that time. And I remember everything being shut down, coming in every day. We had to do a lot to make sure we kept the regulators happy with how we were keeping that space clean and social distancing. And, so that did help us during the COVID shutdown era.
Right. Did you do any of the kind of outdoor restaurants during COVID? I know you had an opportunity on the deck there.
I believe it was July 4th weekend of 2020 we reopened.
Right.
We used the deck, and our Chart House, Vic and Anthony's, and all our room service menus were being done out of that deck kitchen.
Hmm.
And we actually were able to get more seats out on the deck than we were in our inside Vic and Anthony's restaurant.
Yeah.
So, COVID taught everybody how to operate differently.
Yeah.
I think more efficiently, more creatively. And it was an interesting time to be an operator.
For sure. So you mentioned the loyalty of your employees. I mean, I've seen that in a lot of properties, certainly day one employees here at Trump Castle back in the day. What do you do to continue to keep the morale up and keep them occupied?
It's making sure they have a voice at the table.
Mm-hmm.
you know, we make a lot of decisions at times, and I don't expect everybody to agree with the decisions we're making, but one thing I try to do is explain to them why we're doing something.
Right.
We are a business. We're not a non-for-profit.
Right.
And people don't always understand that you've got to do things that make sense.
Mm-hmm.
No business owner wants to make less money than they did the year before and the year before that. So we're constantly changing the way we operate, trying to become more efficient, trying to become more profitable or improve margins.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always tried to be accessible to our team members, you know, explain to them why we're doing things, getting their feedback. How can we improve on what we're doing? Where are we missing things? What can we do to be better?
Right.
And again, we do have a lot of day one team members, as every property in Atlantic City does.
Sure,
it's definitely more prominent here than it is in the Vegas or even the Laughlin market that I've operated on. So it's just, we try to act on the things we can control, and the things that we can't, we can't. But I've always believed in transparency and honesty, and I believe they respect that I'm being honest with them and I'm not trying to sugarcoat things.
Sure, absolutely. Well, another way you're transparent is you have an active role on social media. You know, you interact with your customers on social media when they have a complaint or an opinion. You actually talk to them right there, and I'm sure you direct message them as well. I mean, why are you taking that out in the public like that?
Social media, we've all seen what it's done over the last 10 years, not to just our business, but every business. Back in the day, a customer would have an issue and you'd have the ability to deal with that customer one-on-one. Now, people post things on social media and not all the facts are presented and people form opinions. And the one thing I can do and can control, good or bad, I want to be engaged with that customer. I don't want to leave it up to one of my team members.
Sure.
I want to be accountable for what, we're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. We're going to make mistakes. I acknowledge those mistakes and own up to them, but we can make ourselves better if customers are sharing their experiences.
Sure.
And so I've always felt, and it actually started during a hurricane, one of our hurricanes back in the year, we started with marina guests. We had cameras out in the marina, but with the loss of power, they couldn't get them. So although we were closed, I was here on property, and I remember calling it Tuesday Tom. I would get on social media with our marina guests. If they had a question about their boat, I would engage with them. Here's what's going on. And that kind of evolved. And people respond when you're responsive on social media.
Sure.
And you see, I make my phone number public. I make my email address public. Good, bad. I prefer the bad comments. I think most people can read through. And you know, I find that most negative comments, people are like, what do you, you know, why are you even posting this? Go to the managers, they'll handle it.
Right,
but but again, we learn a lot from what we see, but I'm monitoring them. I don't have somebody monitoring them for me. On a Sunday morning or Saturday night, I'm responding, and that's the way I've always been, and I'm sure I'll continue to be given where social media is taking us.
Well, it's funny, you know, the negative comments you get, as you say, you respond to them pretty immediately, but you get a lot of support from your customers. They say, oh, you know, if they complain about an employee or something, somebody has had a great relationship with that employee, or they've always had a great relationship with all Golden Nugget employees. So, you know, it seems like they support you, you know, in that kind of role.
And they do. And again, we are not perfect. People have bad days.
Sure.
Our best employees are going to have a bad day, and it doesn't make what happened
right.
But again, we can correct it and learn from it and be better because of it.
Okay, great. So one of the things I was also impressed with when I was walking through last week was your table games. You had, again, the middle of the day, middle of the week, they were almost full, you know, and they were reasonable minimums, you know, $10 minimum on most of the tables, and people seemed to be having a good time. There's a trend in Vegas here, however, that they're doing away with live table games and bringing in the ETGs. Is that something that you would ever consider?
If the market allowed it, but we are a completely different market than Vegas, where you know, Vegas is more retail, people going once a year, once every 6 months. We've got a high frequency market. We've tried them on our floor. They just don't perform the way they do in Vegas. So if the market leads us to where we can't find dealers and that's all we can do, well, then the market's going to be forced into using electronic table games. Until then, our customer wants to see the cards, feel the cards, And again, we're just, we don't have that volume of retail customer that, sure. that the Vegas market
yeah,
does.
Yeah, no question. So Vegas has experienced a kind of a dip in attendance now. Even though the gaming win is up, there's still less people there. And a lot of the complaint is that it's too expensive. You know, $20 for a cocktail on the Strip, you know, $20 parking on the Strip, which used to be free. Are you kind of looking at that and trying to learn some lessons from that? Or again, you say it's a different market, but, you know, that I know that happens here as well.
Where we are the same is... the union contracts
right.
that we have. What mm-hmm. people don't realize is last couple of years there were union contract right. negotiations that resulted in a 30% increase in labor.
Right.
Cost of goods have gone up. So as costs go up, properties need to find ways. Again, there is no business, there is no stockholder that's going to say, oh, sure. go ahead.
Yeah.
Our stock can be worth less. Don't yeah. worry about it. Absorb right. the costs. Mm-hmm. So as operators, we've got to find ways to try to absorb those additional costs.
Right.
We believe that our employees get paid what they're worth.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them, they got an increase in their union contract. But as operators, we need to find ways to offset that. So, you know, we said back before COVID, everybody wanted $15 to $20 an hour minimum wage.
Right.
We have it now. We still have positions that we can't fill because people don't work.
Right.
And we've got the $20 hamburger because in order to support those wages and what's necessary, you've got to increase the prices. So I think Vegas goes overboard in a lot of areas. Again, parking, you're trying to welcome people to your property.
Right.
Why charge for parking?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe most of them, hotel guests don't pay for parking.
Right.
If you're at a certain tier level, you don't pay for parking.
Right.
So they don't really advertise that. So
yeah.
much like in our case, 80% of our customers are getting free parking even when we charge. I believe it's the same way in Vegas,
right.
but they just focus on the, oh, it's $20 to park.
Yeah.
Well, get a player's card, gamble a little bit, and likelihood of you not having to pay next time you come are probably pretty good.
Yeah, no question about that. So let's talk about the future of Atlantic City. You know, we're seeing the New York situation kind of clarify now. It looks like the two casinos that are already there will get the full casino license soon. There's only going to be one more. How worry you about that impact when they have three full casinos up in New York City?
Without a doubt, looking at my database, about 33% of our customers come from the New York and Central New Jersey
mm-hmm.
Region. So it's going to make it much easier for those customers to access gambling, and,
right.
and the investment needed to get one of these licenses
right.
is significant. So it's not going to be a mom and pop shop. They're
right.
going to be beautiful resorts. But looking outside, there's one thing that those properties are not going to be able
right.
to provide. And we still have beaches. We still have beautiful weather in the summertime and skylines. And so although it's going to be difficult, Atlantic City is going to have to up the game. And what
sure,
are we going to
right.
be able to do? You know, I think the tolls are a deterrent coming down here.
Mm-hmm.
It's costing you close to $30 in tolls just
right.
to get down here, then fuel. And we're trying to invite people down to a resort destination.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of things we're going to have to change
mm-hmm.
when New York, and it's not if, it's when New York
right.
casinos happen. And I think the likelihood of a local operator here in Atlantic City getting that third license is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I always consider the fact, you know, it's a helicopter ride away. So
right.
it's definitely going to benefit that property that gets that license. We might see some closures in Atlantic City, but Atlantic City is always going to be in existence.
Yeah.
We'll just have to up our game and find creative ways to make it more appealing
sure.
for customers. And then you look at, you don't know what the tax rate in New York is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we have one of the lowest tax rates in Atlantic City. It allows us to be aggressive with the free play
mm-hmm.
and the gifts.
Right.
If they're looking at a 50 to 60% tax rate in New York, they're not going to be able to give those incentives that Atlantic City does.
Right.
And that's going to be a deterrent. And then is it going to expose more people to gambling?
Right.
That, okay, well, I want to go down to Atlantic City for the weekend. And so there's a lot of
sure.
unknowns, but it is going to be difficult as we navigate it. But we've been through difficult times
right,
before.
Right. Well, that was kind of one of the mistakes Atlantic City made when Pennsylvania came on. They thought, though, the high tax rate, they're not going to be able to compete with us. But then when they saw you can write your marketing expenses off toward that tax rate, that was a
yeah.
big negative for Atlantic City. Do you think that's going to be the same thing that's going to happen in New York?
I think if New York regulators are paying attention,
yeah.
it should be the same way.
Right.
But, again, you don't know.
Right.
And we'll all find out at the same time. And
right.
then we'll adjust accordingly once we know what the playbook is.
Right, right. So you mentioned a large part of your clientele is from New York, the New York area. Do you monitor them on what their opinions are of Atlantic City, what their opinions are of your property?
Absolutely. So, you know, Atlantic City, we've got the boardwalk and the Marina District.
Right.
I know for a fact the perception of the Marina District is a little bit better than the boardwalk.
Sure.
I focus more on what people think about our property. We regularly send surveys out.
Sure.
Or we meet with our higher-end customers and get their feedback. You know, again, what can I control? What can we control here on property to improve ourselves? I think Atlantic City has a lot of issues to deal with. I know our counterparts on the boardwalk, they deal with the clean and safe aspect more
right.
than we do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been some major improvements this year compared to
sure.
last, where you see law enforcement out in force,
mm-hmm.
Enforcing, you know, people just smoking marijuana out in public,
right,
which
right.
is crazy to me. But there's things we need to get under control to make sure that
sure.
the Atlantic City's perception is improved upon and helps us moving forward as we approach New York casinos.
Sure, sure. Do you think there's more that the city government and also the state government can do to really promote Atlantic City?
Listen, I'm not in government for a reason. I don't right. expect it's an easy job,
right.
and I don't want to comment on government issues, but I think we can all continue to do better,
right?
Regardless of whether we're in private business, government. I think it all has to be us coming together,
right?
All parties listening to one another and listening to the concerns and acknowledging that there are concerns, and then we can't worry about the past. We got to
right.
worry about now and how we fix things.
Right, right.
And I think we're starting to see that there's some people in place that are receptive and listening to what we're saying and willing to make improvements. And again, we've seen that this last summer with a major improvement, which is the law enforcement presence.
Sure, sure. Well, one more question. You know, there's been a little bit of talk about North Jersey casinos again, but now that we see that all the Manhattan proposals have gone by the wayside and all the casinos will be in Queens or even in the Bronx so that does that make it less likely, you think, that North Jersey casinos would be proposed again?
I think when New York comes about, we know for a fact we're going to see a decline in revenues mm-hmm. in Atlantic City. I think the topic will come up again in the
yeah.
future, and whether or not it happens, we'll see. But again, our state of New Jersey will experience a decline in tax revenues.
Yeah.
And when that happens, the government's going to consider all options. And I'm sure they will look at North Jersey again, but then they've got to think about South Jersey as well.
Right.
Loss of jobs, loss mm-hmm. of revenue, and all
sure.
the other factors in place.
Right. And we saw the voters pretty much turn that down by
yeah.
a wide margin, and I don't think that's going to change that much
yep.
either. So.
But again, you never know.
You never know. That's right. And you never know what politicians can do to go in the back door. Something
yep.
might happen that way as well. So, Tom, thanks for taking the time to join us. I'm glad we could sit down and talk to you about your property and what you're doing and what the future of this property is.
Appreciate your time.
I think this property has a really, really bright future, and you know, if you continue to run it the way you have been, I think you're not going to be the one that is going to be in danger of closing.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out the Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the daily news of the gaming industry, subscribe for free to the Global Gaming Monitor at igamingbusiness.com. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.